Good evening. Well, we have arrived at the last of the seven parables of the kingdom in Matthew chapter 13. Again, the kingdom parables, these in mystery form, have to do with what will be taking place on the earth while the Lord is absent, while he's in the glories, anticipating his return. Some of the things we have learned, first of all, is in the parable of the sower that not everyone is going to be saved. Then we also learned that in the process of sowing, the Lord Jesus, or the man sowing, sowed good seed. We're told it's the Lord Jesus sowing the children of the kingdom, believers. But one came, an adversary, and sowed bad seed, his seed. And this, of course, is Satan. And his followers were cast into the world. And so we did learn that in the world in which we live, not everyone is going to be saved. And as we look at the world, we see the reality of that on every hand. Now, if you will you turn with me to the book of Matthew, chapter 13. Thank you very much. And we're reading at verse 47. Matthew 13, 47. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a net that was cast into the sea and gathered of every kind, which when it was full, they drew it to shore and sat down and gathered the good into vessels, but cast the bad away. So shall it be at the end of the world. The angels shall come forth, sever the wicked from among the just, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Jesus said unto them, have you understood these things? Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we thank you that we have this wonderful blessing of gathering together this evening, looking into your word, studying your word, and then praying together. We thank you for the weeks we've had together as we've considered these parables. We trust it's been a benefit to every one of us. And now, Lord, as we look at this last parable, we pray that you might bless our hearts, encourage us, and challenge us. Lord, we do thank you for one another, the fellowship that we have, the joy of being together. Lord, again, we pray your blessing. May your Spirit use your word as we pray in the Lord Jesus' name. Amen. Well, obviously, as we get to this parable, we realize it's going to talk about judgment. The Lord Jesus speaks and said, there's a great net cast, and this cast into the sea representing the world of people, men, and it gathereth every kind into the net. Drew it to shore, sat down, and then gathered the good into vessels, but cast the bad away. This is a judgment scene. So shall it be at the end of the world. The angels shall come forth and sever the wicked from among the just, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and the gnashing of teeth. So we're talking here about a time of judgment. That until the time of the end, the seed will continue to be sold. Saved, people will be saved. People will not believe. And then there's going to come a point when there will be a separation. And at that separation, we'll talk more about this now as we move along. At that separation, one group will be separated unto the kingdom of heaven. The other group, well, we read it here, cast into a furnace of fire. That's speaking to us of hell, the lake of fire, judgment. God's righteous judgment against sin. Now, as we speak about this, we have to make it very clear at this time of judgment, when there's going to be a separation, that there are several judgments spoken of in the Word of God. Generally thinking, people have the idea there's going to be one judgment sometime in eternity when everybody everybody is going to come before the great white throne judgment of God, and there they'll be given life or they'll be cast into hell, and it'll be maintained upon works. But that's not what the scriptures teach. There is just not one general judgment. There are many. And this evening, the Lord willing, we're going to consider four of them. Now, we're going to be speaking about judgments as we move along this evening. But before we do that, I want to mention just a little bit about salvation. As we speak about judgments, we look to the future, things to come. As we consider salvation, I want to make it very clear that after the rapture of the saints, when the Lord Jesus descends from the glories, in the clouds of the air, the trump of God, the voice, the archangel, and the church of God, all the believers will be raptured away to meet the Lord in the air, and then so shall they ever be with the Lord. I might say the bodies of those believers who are already with the Lord will be resurrected first. Then we will go and we will be with the Lord. At that moment, the world will enter into a period of time called the Great Tribulation. Now, if you will, turn with me to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And I'm going to be reading 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 11. Let's read verse 10. Speaking about the Antichrist. And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but hath pleasure in unrighteousness. As a young believer, it was generally taught at that time, that has changed, that this verse was making a very strong statement. And that statement was this: after the rapture, no one would be saved. That statement and prophecy in the 1950s and before was very emphatic. It was that everyone who is not taken to be with the Lord will be deceived, they will believe a lie, and they'll all be damned. However, reading a little bit more into the scriptures, in Revelation chapter 7, we read immediately in the tribulation period that there will be 144,000 Jews that are going to be saved, 12,000 from each tribe, which will go forth as great evangelists. And then in the later half of that chapter, John is speaking to an angelic being. The angelic being says, look at that multitude of people. A multitude that no one could number. No one could number. And the question is, who are they? And John gives the answer. They are they which have come out of the great tribulation. And so we realize that there will be salvation after the rapture. The reason I emphasize that is we know that there's going to be judgment. But God is and will be, always will be, in the soul-winning business. There will always be the redeemed. Those that will respond to God and will be cleansed by the precious blood of Christ. I don't have time to go on in detail on this, but how are they going to get saved? When the church is gone, the Spirit of God leaves from indwelling the believers to go into the glory. However, the ministry of the Spirit of God in the world is convince people of sin, attempt to bring them to the knowledge of Christ. So though he's gone from indwelling the church, he will be here during the tribulation period carrying forth the message and conviction upon the unbeliever. So we know that the Spirit of God will be here. We also know that the Word of God will be here. They may stop printing it, but it'll still be here. And our Bibles will be here. Thank God for the Gideons who are putting Bibles everywhere. You know, as we read the Word of God, and the Spirit of God is dealing with us, we can be saved. And I think that's going to take place. There are many things that are going to take place. We read about the 144,000, but I want to encourage you in this. You and I have many friends, many people that we've been witnessing to. We've been speaking to them of the gospel, how Jesus saves. We've been speaking to them about the coming of Christ. A day is coming when we're going to be gone. We've been speaking to them much about the Word of God. We've been living lives before them. When the rapture occurs, those individuals, our neighbors, are going to go into the time of the tribulation. That's true. But they're not going to change. They're still going to be sinners. They're going to be thinking. The Spirit of God is going to be working upon them. So may I encourage you to continue to live a Christ-like life before them, to share with them the Word of God. Perchance, maybe God's going to use you to bring forth into the life through Christ of someone during that period of time. But I must move on. Now, not only are souls going to be saved during the tribulation period, but they're also going to be saved during the millennial period. You say, how would you even consider that? Well, first of all, as we'll see this evening, everyone that moves into the millennium, we may get that light fixed, I don't know, but if we do, is it going to get fixed tonight? No, okay. I have some charts that we could have looked at. However, print them out? How? I don't know if you can print these out. You want to try? Print them out however you can. Here's one. You can print it out. You don't have to do that. Here's another. And here's another. Okay, this is the first one. Oh, that'd be nice. You can use a magnifying glass with a flashlight behind it. After a 7-year tribulation period, the Lord Jesus Christ will come to the earth. He will come to the earth to set up the millennial kingdom. We're going to talk about that this evening. As he will be setting up the millennial kingdom, there will be a separation, as we read about tonight, between the sheep and the goat, the good fish, the bad fish. Those that know the Lord will go into the millennium. All others will be cast into judgment. All believers going into millennium are going to be just like we are today. They're not going to have new bodies. They're going to be sinners saved by grace. And their children will be born just as our children and just as we, sinners, contaminated by the sin of Adam. And they're going to need redemption. They're going to need to be born again, to be washed clean from their sin through the shed blood of Christ. This again will come on the principle of faith. Now, if we turn to the book of Revelation, chapter 20, for just a moment. Revelation chapter 20, and we're going to read verse 7. And when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison and shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. And they went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about, the beloved city. Fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. We are being taught here that at the end of the millennial period, Satan, who's been bound in a pit, will be loosed. He will come into the earth, and he will immediately gain followers. Hard to conceive of that. Living under the righteous judgment of God, everything right, the human heart is saying, I want my own way. I do not want that man to reign over me. And in that period of time, Satan will gather together an army like the sand on the seashore to once again battle against the Lord. Of course, he'll be defeated. He'll be cast into the lake of fire. So as we have considered this briefly this evening, I want us to keep in mind that God is in the soul-winning business. God is involved in reaching people with the gospel of Christ, wanting to bring them onto himself. But now we want to talk about the judgments. There are several judgments that we read about in the Word of God. We're going to consider four of them this evening. Now, once again, we want to impress upon our minds that contrary to what theologians teach and pastors have been preaching, there is more than one future judgment. We're going to consider some of them this evening. There is more than just the great white throne judgment. And if we have time, we'll go into some detail. But at that great white throne judgment, there will be no believers, only unbelievers. Unbelievers from the beginning of time who will stand before the Lord and the books will be opened. Their names will not be there. They'll give account without excuse and they'll be cast from the Lord into the lake of fire. We want to keep that in mind. Now, the first judgment we want to consider this evening is the believer's judgment. When the sin of the believer has been judged. This is true of every child of God. Their judgment for the just action of God against us in regards to our sin, which would be judgment for lost eternity, that judgment has been bore by the Lord Jesus Christ for us when he died on the cross at Calvary. Again, the place, the cross at Calvary. The result? Redemption, justification, salvation for all men. Oh, you've done a great job. They each get one, right? Everybody gets one. So again, the believer's judgment takes place as the Lord Jesus Christ dies as our substitute to bear our sins on the cross at Calvary. There, he, the just one, suffered for our sin, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. For he hath made him to be Him, Christ, to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. But now, in the end of the world, he hath appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. When he hath purged our sins, and so on. I want to read this one also. There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. So the judgment of the believer's sin takes place at the cross at Calvary. Now, if you have your little chart, maybe this is better. You can take it with you. Spent hours trying to find these. But anyway, It begins there at the cross of Christ. Now the next one we want to consider has to do, if you move on here, to where we see below, the judgment seat of Christ with the arrow going up. Now, the judgment seat of Christ, again, we want to emphasize, is the Bema, the place where the winner of the event either stood before the large, very large rock with the judges on top giving away awards, or he came up to the top with the judges and he was awarded the crown for winning first place. Now, we're going to speak about the judgment of nations. We're going to speak about the great white throne judgment. But this is something we ought to be concerned about because we're going to be there. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. You've heard me say this before, and I'm going to say it again. I'd rather not be there, but I'm going to be there. I'm going to have to look the Lord right in the face. He's going to look right at me individually, as he will you, individually. It'd be better if it was in mass, but it's not. Right down there in the front of the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm going to have my life reviewed. I don't like that. But you know it's going to be apart from sin. And that I'm just thrilled about. As I consider my life since I became a believer at the age of 19, I'm not proud. I'm not happy about some things in my life. But you know, God sees me in Christ. He sees you in Christ. Hallelujah. He sees us in Christ. And he says, no condemnation for them that are in Christ. Period. Period. And if you have a Bible that says, who walk not according to the flesh, cross that out. And after Romans 8:1 says, there is no condemnation to them in Christ Jesus, put a great exclamation mark. Period. Hallelujah. No judgment. Ever. No judgment. Do you believe that? Do you? Are you rejoicing in that? I know I am. Thank God that a sinner like me, redeemed by the blood of Christ, God has no charge against me. No charge against me. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 11. For other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man built upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stone, hay, wood, and stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest. For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. Wow. He shall receive a reward. I'm sure you're much like I am. If by the grace of God, in my life, in your life, God has allowed me to touch someone's life, I never thought of reward. But there's going to be rewards. I never put forth a great effort that I might be the head of the class. But God keeps the books. God keeps the books. So you dear faithful wives, God keeps the books. You Christian young people today who are trying to raise families, teach them the things of God. God keeps the books. Thank God for that. He shall receive a word. If any man's work shall be burnt, he shall suffer loss. But he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. I want to turn to Romans chapter 14. Romans chapter 14. And verse 10. But why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Without exception, we'll be there. Lastly, 2 Corinthians 5. And I'm reading at verse 10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in the body, according to that which he had done, whether it be good or bad. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are made manifest unto God, as I trust also are made manifest in your conscience. Again, we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And I trust I've made it clear from the Word of God that the Lord Jesus Christ has bore all of our sin. It'll not be a question of sin. It'll be how we lived our lives to honor Him. There'll be that which will be burnt up. There will be that which the Lord will reward us for. Thank God. What a wonderful Savior. Now again, as we're reading about that judgment seat, it will take place after the rapture. It'll take place before the second coming of Christ to the world. Do I have that? Let me just see if on one of my papers here I can show you that a little better. Judgments and resurrection. Resurrection and judgments. You see, in the middle of the first the silence in heaven, and then the trumpets, and then we read on, and we come to the rapture. The resurrection of the tribulation changed to rapture, and so on. Oh, wait a minute now. Go to the big one, the bigger one. As the rapture takes place, the church will be taken up into heaven. And then you notice below that it says, the judgment seat of Christ where saints receive their reward. So the rapture takes place. Two events follow. One, the bema, when we'll stand before the Lord and he will burn up the waste, the no good. He'll give rewards. And then after that will be the marriage supper of the Lamb. Revelation chapter 19. And in that chapter we have the bride making herself ready, clothed in pure white. The judgment seat has taken place. All that's not necessary is gone. And the bride, that's us, clothed in pure white. The righteousness of God giving us salvation, and the results of salvation in our lives as we're presented to Christ as the bride. And so the judgment seat that we're speaking about will take place in the future after the rapture, before the second coming of Christ to the world. Now I want to move on. I'd like to spend a lot more time there, and believe you me, I have a lot of notes. I could stay there a long time, but I'm not going to. Now we want to come to the third judgment. And we began to read about that in Matthew 13. And I'll just review it. You don't have to move back there. Where we read there's going to be this great dragnet that's going to drag in the fish, pull them all in. Ellen and I had the experience while we're in Houston to be visiting with some friends of ours right down on the beach, and they were out there with a large net, no less than a half a mile in length. And here they were pulling it into the shore. They were after trout. That was the prize they were after. But as they pulled that in, there was octopus. There was, well, everything you can think of was in there. People were gathering up and getting them. But they took the trout. And I thought immediately as I saw that about this passage of Scripture. It's the good fish that'll be separated from the bad fish. The saints, the sheep, they will enter into the millennium. The unbelievers will be cast into the lake of fire. The first group of people that will be judged leading up to that will be the nation of Israel. They'll be purified. Now we read in Romans 11, there's that coming day when all Israel will be saved. We know that. But you know, we also read in many passages of Scripture that there's going to be a purification and a weeding out of those who refuse to believe, will not believe. Turn with me to Matthew. Well, just for one moment. It's very important that all of us search out our hearts. Speak to our loved ones that they really know that they're born again. So the first ones to be dealt with will be the Jews. They'll be purified. And then the nations of the world. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 24. In verse 40, we read this is going to happen during that gathering together in the net just prior to the millennial period. The Lord Jesus comes back with the saints in all of his glory to set up his kingdom, that kingdom that has been promised to Israel, where he shall reign as their Messiah king and the king over the whole world. But just before that happens, we read this. And two shall be in the field. One shall be taken and the other left. Boy, doesn't that sound like a great verse for the rapture? But it's not. That's in the kingdom concepts. This has to do with what is going to take place just before the millennium. Just before God sets up his kingdom. The one taken is the unbeliever. Two women shall be grinding at the mill. One shall be taken, the other left. Those taken are going to be cast into the lake of fire. Well, as we read on, we read that in those days the Lord shall separate the sheep from the goats. The sheep are those that will enter the millennial kingdom. The goats are those that we have been reading about who will be cast into everlasting destruction, torture, fire, furnace, the lake of fire. I'm sure that people consciously would not want to go there. But Satan has so blinded the minds of people, they go forth in happy unbelief, not understanding what's going to take place. So there's going to be this great separation. Then, of course, as we have read, they'll be casting into the lake of fire. Into judgment. Our God is way beyond our understanding. His word reveals to me that which is horrible. That because of the hideousness of sin and the impact of sin that has brought forth God giving the Son of His love on the cross at Calvary to redeem us, the result of those who do not believe is that they'll be cast into a Christless eternity where there is only suffering and torture. Wow. 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 But I do want to go on. Believe you me, I have many notes tonight. Now, we have been considering the judgment of the nations that we read about. Let's turn to Revelation chapter 20. Forgot to turn there. Revelation chapter 20. Verse 1, and I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and great chain in his hand. And he lay hold on a dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil, Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. And cast him into the bottomless pit, and shut him up, and set a seal upon him, that he should deceive the nations no more till 1,000 years be fulfilled. We've considered that. Verse 10. And the angel that deceived them was cast into the, and the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. Now before that, there is that judgment of the separation of the sheep and goats when they are cast into hell, when they're judged. But it's not over. It's not over. As we read on here, we read of a fourth judgment, Revelation 20:11. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat upon it, from whom the face of the earth and the heavens fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of these things which are written in the books, according to the works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. And death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man according to his works. Death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Two books. A final judgment. Christ, having died to wash away the sin of those who believe, declare them righteous, is here. He's the judge. Those redeemed will be with him. Here, all of the dead from the beginning of time will be brought before the Lord. Their bodies will be brought forth from the grave, burnt, wherever it is. They'll be brought forth. And he'll stand before God. The result here is eternal death. All the unbelievers, all the wicked dead before the Lord, and they'll be judged out of the books. There will be a book that will be filled with blanks. Their names will not be there. Aren't you glad? Don't you want to just thank God and praise Him? Your names are in the book of life. Aren't you glad we've been cleansed from all of our sin? And so, the final judgment, the fourth judgment, is the great white throne judgment. There are some big differences between the judgment of nations at the end or at the beginning of the millennial period that we've been talking about, the separation of the sheep and the goats. Let me just list a few. In the judgment that takes place before the millennium, there's no resurrection. All the living nations will be judged. No books there. It's on earth. Three classes: sheep, goats, brethren. Sheep, believers, the goats, the unbelievers, brethren representing Jewish believers. The time when Christ comes to earth at the second event. The great white throne judgment. There's going to be a great resurrection of all the unsaved dead. The dead will be judged individually. Heaven and earth is going to fleet away. And books are going to be open. Judgment out of the books. And I would suggest not only the book of life where names are not, but books are going to be open in regards to the degree of judgment that some are going to receive. At that time, that judgment, only one class, the dead. The result, eternal damnation, the lake of fire. Pray for your loved ones. Pray for those that you know who do not know the Lord Jesus as their Savior. Shall we pray? Not yet. Let's ask some questions. Do you have questions? We can talk about them. Well, at least you have these paper knives. You can take them home and look at them. Try to make some sense out of them. Very good. Thank you very much, gentlemen, for printing them. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you've saved us. As we speak about these things this evening, we begin to become concerned for the lost. And we begin to think, why me? You saved me. Thank you, Lord. So we do thank you for our Savior. And for this wonderful message and plan of salvation that we have heard and we believe that have brought us to you through your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We can call you our Father. Amen. We thank you, Lord, for one another, for the fellowship and joy of being with Christians, those who know you and talk about you and rejoice in salvation that we have. How wonderful it is. Lord, you're precious to us. We thank you for your word, and we thank you, Lord, you have us in the palm of your hand. We pray your blessing as we pray in the Lord Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.